Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We have John Sullivan in studio with us this morning. John is chairman of the state Stop DWI Association and director of Erie County's Stop DWI office. And John, we learned just yesterday that the DWI numbers locally are down. Arrests are down 2% if you go over the past year. I would imagine that that's encouraging to you. But why are those numbers down?
Sure. Well, it's always better when fewer people are driving drunk. So I think that's the positive takeaway from that. The 2% figure has actually run since the beginning of rideshare began here in Buffalo, July of 2017. So, you know, everybody wants to know what effect has rideshare had, Uber and Lyft and those kind of services, what kind of effect that has had on drinking and driving. It's got to be a positive thing. It's hard to attribute a drop in arrest to any one factor, but that's over the last year, it's been a 2% drop. We're in a general period of declining arrests, and I think that's because of the ongoing momentum that we have. People are getting the message. There are very severe penalties, and you know, once people hear about what happens to them once they get a DWI, people don't want any part of that.
You know, a lot of people will look at these numbers, declining arrests over a certain period of time. We're talking about, give or take, 100 arrests. Is that a decline in DWI, or is it just a decline in DWI arrests?
Well, the actual numbers are lower. So over the last 5 years, they've come down about 20%. So, you know, taking a short period look, it's hard to attribute, you know, plus or minus 100 arrests. Mm-hmm. But over a long period of time, they've been declining generally. That's true across the state. And on top of that, anecdotal reports from from police agencies, they're just saying there are just fewer people out there that are doing it. They are finding people using Uber and Lyft. And so when they're out there on patrol on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights when most arrests are made, they're just saying there's not as many out there as there used to be, and that's a good thing.
You know, so the numbers are down, but it still seems that for most of the people that are involved, the repeat offenders that you're dealing with time and time again, right?
Well, 30% of the arrests are people that have had a prior DWI. And so one of the biggest indicators of receiving a DWI is having a prior one. It is becoming a more chronic driver problem. I think the social part of this has been one, the casual drinker, if they were to go out and they're going to be drinking and they know that, they're thinking ahead and they're making plans ahead because they don't want to drive afterwards. But somebody that's in a habitual pattern of consumption, those are the people that we're seeing more and more often.
You know, why is that? Is it just simply that habit? Because you look at some of the penalties, it's something we've been talking about all morning long. You think that would be enough for somebody to say, okay, it's time for me to change whatever that habit might be. But 30%, I mean, obviously it's not.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of components to that. There are people that are suffering with their ability to control their consumption, right? That's a component of it. And there are new drivers, a new crop of drivers coming on every year. And the good news is it's very few people under 21 are being arrested for DWI. I mean, that message is going out from the time they're in kindergarten, right? It's always been that way. And so it's happening fewer and fewer with new drivers. But I think you're right. People have a habitual lifestyle pattern, not habitual in terms of a substance abuse problem, but they're just into a pattern of behavior. And just over time, the more frequently a person does it, the more likely they are to be arrested.
John, you know, is it that municipalities want to put these people back out on the street, or they just don't want to bear the expense of putting them in jail, you know, when you see these repeat offenders getting out again and again?
Right. Well, there's a menu of sanctions available to the court when a person's convicted. They certainly can put them in jail for repeat offenders, and some people do. There's also steps prior to jail, so probation. 23% of our probation population are people on there for DWI. So they are being supervised more intensively than a lot of other crimes. It's a big part of what the probation department does. And that's an interim step between jail and just letting them go. But there's a, you know, for first-time offenders, jail is very infrequently given. But there's a lot of other sanctions before jail that can have an effect on their behavior.
Now, I want to get into a little bit of some of these punishments and what you're seeing as a result of them when it comes to repeat offenders. But you mentioned, you know, from kindergarten, people know now not to drink or drive after they've been drinking. It's been a culture change, hasn't it, over the past, what would you say, 20 years?
Yeah, well, New York criminalized DWI in 1982, so we've been at this for 30 years, and there certainly has been a culture change. I come from a period, I remember that time, people used to tell stories at the water cooler. My gosh, I can't believe where I parked my car, I couldn't figure that out. Nobody does it anymore, it's not funny, and so people don't talk about it in that way any longer. On top of that, you know, in 1982, you could have looked at all the sanctions on one side of one sheet of paper. Now there's many pages of the vehicle and traffic law have to deal with the various punishments that come along with a DWI. Not just the fines, but the court surcharges, the loss of license, the criminal side of it is, you know, the conviction and the fines. But then the Department of Motor Vehicles has its own set of sanctions against drinking drivers. So both systems come to bear on a person that gets a DWI. And it's pretty painful, especially in Buffalo, New York, if you don't have a car. We're a pretty vehicle-centered place. We don't have public transportation like they do in New York City. So if you lose your ability to drive in Buffalo, New York, that's a pretty stiff sanction. Plus, you can't go to Canada for 10 years. That's a pretty big thing. Maybe not as big in Binghamton, but in Buffalo, New York, that's a significant sanction.
Yeah, and is that because of Canada's laws or because of what's laws here?
No, that's a Canadian law. That's for them, a DWI prohibits an entrance to Canada for 10 years.
Well, our focus this morning on DWI in Western New York. And there's so many reasons to not drink and drive. But one you hear pretty frequently, and the one many in law enforcement hopes grabs your attention, is the impact it can have on your wallet. WBEN's Matt Moran brings us more.
With legal and court fees and the rise in insurance, the cost to overcome a DWI can pile up. But DWI attorney Arthur Pressman says if you want the proper representation, it's going to cost you.
There's really no inexpensive way of going about it. I mean, you can certainly shop around and just look for price. It doesn't, like I said, there's most things. A lot of times you get what you pay for.
Pressman does say, though, Buffalo is lower than the state and national average when it comes to legal fees. He says a high rate of attorneys per capita is a possible reason. Expect the total cost to be about $7,500 for a first offense. It rises if it's multiple offenses. Pressman says the cost may seem like a lot, but it is worth it with how important it is to be able to drive.
Not being able to drive is very, very difficult, especially in an area that doesn't have a big lot of public transportation. We don't have subways here that go all over the place. We don't have, you know, streetcars. We don't have any type of mass transit to all the suburbs. So if you can't drive to work, you can't drive your kids, you can't go to school, it's a huge issue.
Pressman says his best advice is to find someone who focuses on DWI cases. Matt Moran, News Radio 930, WBEN.
Joining us live in studio is John Sullivan, former chairman of the New York State Stop DWI Association, also director of Erie County's Stop DWI office. John, you just heard that right there. You know, I think a lot of people hear, whether it's ads for attorneys, things like that, saying, oh, you know, don't encourage this. You know, why are we helping these people? But that message, you keep hearing that figure over and over again, $10,000, that might be as big of a deterrent as there can be.
Sure. The money sanction is one of the biggest deterrents to it. And a lot of that money is not paid to the government. So most of that is paid to private vendors. You certainly need a lawyer because it's a criminal procedure. But the biggest portion of that is your automobile insurance. Everybody knows that we pay for automobile insurance. That will easily double and possibly triple depending on your driving record. So that's where the $10,000 figure comes from over 4 or 5 years after a DWI. And top of that, a lot of the sanctions aren't even part of the law. There are people that lose their jobs. If you drive for a living, you can't go to work every day. There's a societal cost to that, promotions or the way people are looking at people that drink and drive. There's a lot of costs to it that aren't even part of the statute.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Families break up over this too, right?
Sure. It doesn't go over well at home, for sure, right? Especially when you have to spend money to that you could have used other ways on this sort of process.
We're in studio with John Sullivan of Erie County Stop DWI office. John, talking a lot about DWI, but some of the new concerns that are being raised by yourself and others come with the possible legalization of marijuana, kind of happening across the country, state by state, talking about it here in New York. One of the thoughts is that, you know, people who smoke and drive are already doing it. They're already on the roads. Will we see an increase? What have you seen from states that have legalized?
Yeah, well, Colorado was the first state to do that. They did it in 2014. Recent research out of that state show a 14% increase in traffic fatalities due to people impaired by marijuana. And it's not only true in Colorado, it's in the states that surround Colorado. So, you know, whatever the argument is about legalization, when you're talking about traffic safety, it's going to be a bad thing for traffic safety. But that's in the mix of people want to do it or don't do it. New York is already going to begin to feel it because it's legal in Massachusetts and Vermont now. So people can cross the border into you know those states, purchase it, bring it back to New York, where it's illegal to possess and use at the moment. But if they're going to be driving after that, they're going to be they'll be arrested. There's a law against that in New York already.
So you probably are discouraging the approval of this.
Yeah, absolutely. I would, from a traffic safety perspective, it's not going to be a positive thing. I would not legalize marijuana.
But the likelihood of it happening, maybe not next year, but within the next, say, 5 years, so pretty likely the way it's happening across the country. Should we expect to see more of that driver education the same way we see it with drinking and driving, going with marijuana use and driving very soon?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. It's that seems to be the wave of legalization. So we're ready for it. There's training for police officers on, you know, cues for intoxication by marijuana. But let's not kid ourselves. Impaired driving by drugs other than alcohol have always been with us. We were able to detect it and take blood tests instead of a breathalyzer. So there are ways to detect it. And I think we should just treat it the other kinds of impairment that come from any other substance. Just stick to it. It's been pretty successful in New York in reducing alcohol driving impairment. And we'll just keep playing that game as long as we can.
Our in-studio guest is John Sullivan, who is the director of Erie County Stop DWI office. John's been joining us in studio for the past hour or so. We talked about repeat offenders and how big of a problem that seems to be when it comes to DWI. Some of the things that are in place to stop that from happening, stop the repeat offenders, you say actually work pretty well. And one of those, the breathalyzer that you have to use to operate your car. When is that used? When is that forced upon somebody?
So that's a mandatory sanction for anybody convicted of driving while intoxicated, DWI in New York. There's another charge in New York, driving while impaired, which does not carry that as a mandatory sanction. But for a person convicted of the misdemeanor DWI, it's mandatory that they install an ignition interlock device, which means they have to provide a clear breath test before their car will start. And there's multiple, after they start it, they have to do a test in a few moments to make sure they didn't have somebody else start it, and they're rolling down the road. So there's all kinds of safeguards to not be able to circumvent the device and drive your car.
I was just thinking, how could you prevent somebody else from sitting in that car and blowing into it?
Yeah, well, there's a camera. Every time the person blows into the device, there's a picture taken. And if there's a failure, that picture and that failure is sent to the monitoring office, or the Stop DWI office in Erie County monitors those people that have that device. And if we find a violation, we report that back to the court.
All right, so a pretty sophisticated technology, it seems like, that has to work well to prevent repeat offenders, right?
Yeah, well, it's almost foolproof. The only way a person can get another DWI is to drive a car without that device, which in itself is another crime. You're not allowed to do that. But if you're intoxicated, you are not going to be able to start the car if it has the device on it. So it's foolproof in that way. The other curative thing about it is that so if people know they're going to have to blow into the device, it doesn't stop people from drinking. They can still certainly do that. But the idea that if they're going to drive their car afterwards, they have to monitor their consumption. They have to really break the habitual consumption. And so over time, that might give them a chance to think more seriously about whether they should be drinking the way they are.
How long is that on somebody's car for?
Yeah, it's mandatory for 12 months. It costs about $1,500 for the whole 12-month installation. The court does have the option to release someone after 6 months if they install the device. But a lot of people, 40% of people that are ordered to put that on, actually put the device on. The other people turn their cars in. They take the plates off and they take the car off the road and they don't drive for a year.
They'd rather not do that and then incur that expense.
That's right.
But it's a tough place to be able to just to take your car off the road, too.
Right. And then you're not driving at all. And then you have to go back to the DMV a year later and have that restriction on your license removed.
In a place like Buffalo, you mentioned it before, not driving at all. It's almost not an option for people, especially if they have to get around for work or, I mean, you name it, all the number of things you need a car for here. That has to be a big deterrent for people, but also, is it maybe one of the reasons why, you know, Buffalo in the past has had that problem? Because we are so dependent on cars. And is that changing?
There's pretty good bus service on the main lines of in Buffalo. If you live on Seneca Street or, you know, the other main streets of Buffalo. But if you're out in the rural areas, it's pretty hard to find a way mm-hmm. to get to a bus line and use it. So public transportation is not an option for suburbanites, that they're the way they're used to travel, going to and from work and going to places after work, you know, grocery shopping and all of that that thing. So, but people do get conditional driver's licenses when they get a DWI. There's a conditional driver's license. They can drive to and from work, certain medical appointments, but it's really restricted. And you get 3 hours of free time each week. To drive your car.
3 hours to go wherever you want?
Yeah, 3 hours to go wherever you want. But you have to designate those hours on your license, and it's part of your documentation. If you were to be stopped, it's right on the document. The police officer will be able to see it.
Now, another consequence of all of this, too, we mentioned it briefly earlier, is Canada. If you are convicted of DWI, you cannot cross into Canada, correct, for 10 years?
Yeah, that is correct. And so it's one of the things when I teach a course to people that to get a conditional driver's license. It's the biggest surprise for most people that I didn't know I couldn't go to Canada for 10 years. Now, you're going to hear people say, oh, yeah, I've gone back and forth to Canada. I've had a DWI. There is some discretion on the part of the border immigration officers of Canada. But a very recent DWI will very likely bar you from going to Canada for 10 years. And then there's a process you got to go through to gain reentry. You have to complete forms for the Canadian government to get your permission back.
So many deterrents in play. I mean, all the things we mentioned, whether it's Canada or all of the conditional driver's license, and there's all a fee associated with everything. When it's all said and done, we hear that $10,000 is what it costs average if you get a DWI. Is that number pretty much what it is, $10,000? Could it be more? Can it be less?
Easily could be more, depending on, you heard the Mr. Pressman talk about legal representation. And it can easily be $10,000 just for the lawyer. So, and multiple offenses, you can go in easily be $20,000. And we're not even talking about if there's a crash or any other kind of vehicular assault or homicide. If you hurt somebody while doing it, could easily be three times that.
And still, we're talking about 30% of DWI arrests they're repeat offenders.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, that's one of the biggest indicators of getting a DWI is having a prior one. So. And that's why the sanctions go up quickly after the first offense.
Well, I think that's an eye-opening number, and hopefully some of those dollar figures, eye-opening numbers for everyone listening out there. John, we thank you so much for stopping in and joining us for the past hour.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
It's John Sullivan. He's the director of Erie County's Stop DWI office. Much more on this topic at WBEN.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.